Hey, I tell you what, if you love food, you love drink, you love extreme sports, you're going to love the show today. Gee, we covered
And a bit
all.
Of oil wrestling, wasn't there?
No, I don't think there was oil wrestling.
That was by my mind.
Yeah.
So tell you what, we spoke to the guy who's in charge of the cars for the Fast and Furious movies. That was fantastic.
What a man. How much do you reckon he's wrecked in his life?
Nearly $500 million.
Yeah, $500 million worth of motor vehicles.
That was great. Graham Quirk came on because you pointed out there's a genuine tourist attraction going into Brisbane, a zip line. That's a great idea, from Mount Coot-tha down into the city.
You go anywhere. Not just one. They should just have it spiralling into different parts of Brisbane, like to straight into the food court at Indooroopilly. That sort of stuff.
Hello.
That's a great idea. One that drops you straight into the pool at South Bank.
Good Lord.
Anyway, that's excellent fun. Plenty on. Enjoy the catch up. We'll hashtag you soon.
For Brisbane Lions, Kids Go Free Day this Sunday.
One of the things that happens during Songs and So On is Marto reads the paper, and you've been going through how much beer is worth over the Easter long weekend. And
no, don't mention that bit. Just
No. But it sparked my – and I'm thinking, oh, my God, tomorrow I'm hosting a party for between 30 and 40 people. It's my sister's Brisbane 50th. And so a lot of my friends who are her friends are coming over to, you know, have cake and drink beer. And so I usually put I've got these big round tubs which I fill with ice, and I'll put beer in one and wine in the other, and people can help themselves. But
it's a barbecue too.
Yeah, it is a barbie. But I don't know, because I'm not a really good beer aficionado, what is the best beer to buy for a barbecue that most people will drink? Because I know for a fact that a lot of people don't like 4X. That's the feedback I get.
And you know what? People are going off 4X Gold.
Yeah.
Because it's been around. I don't know. I don't know why, but they're starting off. That's Australia's biggest number one beer.
I know.
Have you noticed that, Ed? People are now going, no, I don't want to drink Gold because I think it's become too popular.
Okay. So the question is, a simple question, Robin, that you asked, which we thought, we can get some help with this.
You know, some people drink these, the Tui's Extra Dry. That's sort of popular.
What about the Great Northern? Because they seem to be really
teenager.
Cheap.
Teenager.
Oh.
Teenager's beer.
See, I don't know this.
Oh, well, I think it is.
Why is that? Because is it watery?
It's a bit cheaper.
No, that's why. I thought, I'd get a case of Great Northern and maybe a case of, like, Corona. Don't people all like Corona?
I think so. Mexican 4X, they call it.
Crown used to be the big one when I was growing up.
Gives you a headache. These are all my opinions. I don't know what.
I asked you, so let's ask everyone else. A great barbecue beer.
That everyone will drink. No, Brendan had a good one because you put Sapporos, and people go, or Kirin's, you know,
I don't even know what they are.
They're Japanese beers. They're bloody nice.
Very polarizing beers.
Expensive? A lot of people still thinking about the war. That's the problem.
Oh.
I don't think that's it.
My opinion only.
Ed, you're not weighing into this at all.
As a non-drinker, I'm two things. I'm not much good in this situation, and I'm also intensely boring at a barbecue. So you don't want to talk to me. So 1-333.
You ever whack anything into a stubby holder and pretend?
No, mate. That's even more pathetic. Yeah, jeez, yeah, I tell you what, this Dare Ice coffee is giving me a buzz. 1-333-53. What is the best barbecue beer? I'm on the Dan Murphy's website here, and they've got reviews of beers.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, that's a feature I didn't know.
What is summer? What does it say about summer? Is that a kid's beer as well? That's a teenager.
It's summer.
Oh, well, that's lolly water too. Personal opinion. Sorry, don't suck me in.
Okay. Greg of Deegan, what's the best party beer?
Oh, Stone and Wood Pacific Ale, without a shadow of a doubt.
Pat yourself on the back, Greg. You are so right.
Yeah. Thank you, mate. Brewed in Byron Bay, number one craft beer for the last 2 years running.
Is it really?
Australia.
What?
Yeah, expensive?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, $80 a box?
Yeah.
Okay, that's expensive.
That's too much, isn't it?
That's double like a Great Northern.
You and I are discerning gentlemen, Greg. Nice one.
But thank you, Greg.
It's so right. Jeez, that's a good piss.
Kim of Petrie.
Ken from Petrie.
Ken,
good morning,
sorry,
Ken.
Kenny.
Hey, I reckon your best beer has got to be Cooper's Mild Ale for price and drinkability.
How much, Kenny?
Doesn't give you headaches.
Oh, okay, how much?
I think it's about 50 a carton.
Is that the red or green one?
Red.
I think it's the green or the orange. I think
the orange one, yellow or the orange one.
I prefer the red ones, but at a party where people, you know.
Wow. Grab beers.
The darker they are, the more expensive they are.
That's true. Red ones are the real heavy ones.
Oh, okay. You seem to know a fair bit about beer drinking.
Doesn't matter what I know.
I'm on the Dan Murphy's website, and there's ratings. Beers are getting ratings here out of 5 stars.
Yeah, give us a couple.
Cooper's 4.5 stars. Pure Blonde gets 3.5. There's the only 5-star beer I can find so far is James Bogue Premium Lager. That's getting 5 stars.
How much?
This is $48.95. This is not an ad, by the way, Dan.
Yeah, no, it's like not. That's good.
Can you get onto the Botlo site?
Thirsty Camel. Can do.
Who's this?
Is this Greg or who we got?
I believe this is Tana. Tana, from Joiner.
Hey, Tana.
How you going?
Yeah, good. Yes. Good.
Tell you what, Robin, you're a breath of fresh air.
Oh, thank you. Because nice. I'm talking beer.
Look, you can't go past Corona with a dash of lemonade in it.
A dash of lemonade. Isn't that the one that they normally put the lemon in?
Yeah, a wedge.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Dash and put lime in it or lemon.
Hey, Tana, you're not putting lemonade into the stubby. You're pouring into a glass.
No, you can put a bit of lemonade in the stubby as well.
You know, Tana, the other day, one of the bottle-o's I go to, I like to go to a few because otherwise you get a reputation. They've got Tallies, Corona Tallies.
Yes, they have.
Mm. Dang, I already know. You're not telling him anything.
They really stretch the stubby holder. Right, we better wrap this up. Gregory from Perpignan. Hi, Gregory.
Hey, how you going? It's Bertie here.
Bertie.
I just thought I'd crack a breaky beer. I was just listening on the internet and that, and you slogs were talking about the best beers and that. So I thought, hang on a second, why am I letting that Flog Mato and that chick Robin talk beers when there's an expert just hanging on the line ready to tease what's what?
Yeah, well, what's what?
What is what?
Tell you what, it's a breakfast. Nah, that's a couple of breaky beers. I'm having a Heineken Lager, 330 millilitres for a breakfast beer. And then I'm going to stick, I just got one of you, I just can't crack this one. Oh, hang on, that was one of them. That was one of them Worcester French waters. Yeah, the water comes in cans over here.
That's it.
As if France couldn't be. Oh, I'm a Worcester. I've got a bloke with some onions on it. I'm such a Worcester. Oh, hang on a second. I have a can of water thing. Dead set, mate. What a frog. Hey, you just want to know all the best. Shut up. Do you just want to know what the best? Do you want to know what the best barbecue beer is or not, Robin?
Yes,
that was two minutes ago.
Betty,
yeah.
I do.
Whenever I'm at a barbecue, I always crack open a Todd Carney's Premium Tiger Snake Lager.
What's that taste like? Is that home brewed or?
I got the name wrong. It's actually I've just read the can again. It's Todd Carney's Premium Trouser Snake Lager. A bit foamy, that one. I've got to go for logs.
Yeah.
Mato and Robin, the new Triple M.
The Real Housewives of Mato and Ed.
I'm loving this.
This segment needs to be renamed the Real Stitch-Ups of Robin Bailey.
No. I get to know more about you two by talking to your wives.
Hang on, it's only one of us so far.
Yeah, so far, but I'm going to talk to Kath after Easter.
Oh, no, Kath heard this. She's going, no way.
Anyway, Tiff was very happy to sit down with me and give all the goss. And we've learned about you preparing for your baby. We've learned about your fixation with...
It's so cute.
Yeah, it is cute. We learned so much.
When I say it's cute, that means I'm taking the piss.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
Okay, I'm just going to go with the fact that I thought you were saying it's cute. Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about relationships and romance. Okay, so the first question I asked Tiff was how did her and you... meet.
Moved to Sydney for a couple of months to film this TV show, which was Gladiators, and Ed came up and he was working for another radio station at that time and he was interviewing the Gladiators and he came up to me and it was this moment of he says it was like time stopped and I had long curly blonde hair and I had feathers in my hair because my gladiator name was Angel but I just barred him because I was about to go and compete and it was really dangerous. If you weren't in the zone you could really get hurt, so I ignored him. But when I got back to Melbourne he kept asking me into the radio station for interviews non-stop. On the third time I was like, why am I here? I don't understand. You've already interviewed me. I said, do you want to take me out to dinner or something and we can talk properly instead of calling me into the studio? And he fumbled and he got my number, so I asked him out.
Oh, she asked you out.
Hang on. You're shaking your head, Ed.
Hang on. Look,
there's a few things there, isn't there?
There's a bit going on. Mm. So
can I ask first up, it's not a test match. Like, barring interviews on the day of big games, I know a lot of athletes won't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, she's just belting a bunch of bogans from Adelaide. That's all.
Exactly.
That's all it was.
Okay, yeah, she didn't have to get in the zone. So, yeah, look, she did look very good in her hot pants and her long flowing blonde hair. There's
with
no
the
argument
feathers
there.
In it, looking
yeah,
like
no
an
argument
angel.
There. And she did not remember me the first time we met, and that's fine. I'm used to that. Mm-hmm. And then I did get her back into the studio 3 times, and on the third time, she said, "Do you want to go out?" So, yes, she did ask me out as well because I was too.
This is how some blokes sell cars.
Said,
they annoy the hell out of people.
Despite the fact that you started the conversation by saying none of this is true, you have actually just ticked every single thing she said.
Some of that was true. Oh, a lot of that was true.
What wasn't?
Well, I don't think she barred me. I just think she was, you know, more interested in not me at that time.
Oh, on a technicality.
It was like things she had to get rid of in life. Got to fix that rattle in the car, get rid of that annoying radio guy by taking him out.
Yeah.
What happened then? Have you got any more?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you want to hear about this first date, right?
Ooh, hey.
This is what happened.
We went to dinner. He took me to teppanyaki and it was great and we had a fantastic time. And he rode a bicycle. He didn't have a car. At the end of the date, he paid. It was really cute. I was like flattered because I always say, you know, I'll pay my way, whatever. But he paid. And then he's like, oh, I've got a bike. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like a Harley, like a cool bike. He's like, no, like a bicycle. Could you drive me back to my bike? I parked it. So he got in the car. He gave me a kiss. Whoa. And then I drove him to his bike. And yeah.
Whoa. I've never heard that bit about the bike, mate. You have never mentioned the bike.
That might be true as well. I didn't have a car.
She's on television and you're riding a bike.
I didn't have a car, all right? So she had to drive me back to my bicycle.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Okay, did you get a kiss?
Yeah, yes.
Did you have your helmet on?
No, I didn't have my helmet on or my tassels to keep away magpies.
No cable ties. How did you ever get married?
I know. I did say
to guys him, usually do slow. You're the cat women of the male species, a bike guy.
I get a lot of abuse from guys who see me and her together and, you know, you're punching above your weight. And I accept all that. I do. Mm. And I said to her once, I said, Dale, look, we do get this a lot. People just say, you know, why you go out with him, blah, blah, blah. And she put a hand on me very gently and she said, you know what it is, darling? I said, what is it? What was it about me? And she goes, I've just got a thing for big nose weirdos.
That's so
but there
romantic.
Was one last question that needed to be answered. You don't want to go here?
Oh, I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's another stitch up.
Okay, go. Is he romantic?
Very romantic. Just recently, one of the most romantic things he did, it wasn't for me, we're at a cafe and it's a local Greek place and they make all handmade food. It's just beautiful homemade stuff. And there were two old guys, really, really old, having a yarn and a cup of coffee and some lunch. And I don't know, your heart bleeds, you know, they're there every day. And Ed just quietly went up to the counter and paid for their lunch and said, whatever they want for the day, just put it on this, you know. And I find that very romantic.
Oh. Romantic.
There you go. Well, that's a way to her heart, clearly.
Oh,
he paid
nice
for lunch and that did it work, Ed?
Look, she's pregnant now, so that tells you something.
There's been at least one.
I'm someone who likes to help out old blokes who've sort of lost their mind. I do it for 3.5 hours a day. Look, I've got one here that I look after.
Ah, thank you.
It's a new Triple M.
Can I just cover off, you know, that Natasha Exelby, yes. It was everywhere. The girl she was sort of daydreaming when the camera came to her live TV newsreader and went, oh.
She didn't swear, which is awesome.
You know, well, if you forget the incident.
Melanie Vukovic, ABC News, Mount Sylvia.
Now to sport with Meredith Sheehan.
It happens.
It does.
It happens live TV, and despite the fact that everyone went, oh, they sacked her, ABC sacked her. No, she was only a casual. She only worked very, very rarely, and just hadn't been timetabled to go again. She has not been sacked. She will be back on the ABC, which I don't give a stuff either.
Although
way.
Although she also has been offered a commercial radio gig.
Oh, God.
So she may well be leaving.
Has she really?
Yeah, she has.
Oh, of course she has.
Interesting, Marto. Interesting. Mm.
I don't know. It happens to a lot of people. It's tough work, live TV. I do it on the weekends and it is hard.
Live radio. We do 3.5 hours a day. It's interesting, Marto, that you've taken that position about this because about bloopers and about people's careers being ruined by them doing on-air bloopers, I guess you'd say, or gaffes. Robin, I've done some research and I've gone back through the tapes here.
Everyone's done that. They've gone, Oh, but Ben Fordham did it on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's one of my bloopers and stuff.
What have you done, Ed?
Hashtag put out your bloopers.
Yeah.
And I've gone through. Now, you started at this radio station in the year about year 2000. I've actually gone back through the tapes with our audio producer, Rick. Yeah, no. I put it this way. If we applied the same standards as the ABC, if one small blooper would mean that you'd be sacked, you would have been sacked time and time again for these indiscretions.
On Triple M, it's Mano's Rugby Update.
Yes, Mano here. The Wallabies will definitely beat New Zealand today. Let me tell you something. Get all your money and invest it with my very good mate, Alan Bond.
Triple M News.
Y2K is real, people. Get all your money out of the ATMs, bury it in the backyard and eat it if you have to, and then just excrete it when you need it. Y2K is going to kill us all. Right, you blokes, listen up. Wayne Bennett is going to the Newcastle Knights and he will be never seen in Brisbane again. You mark my words.
Triple M's entertainment news.
Let me tell you something. Scandalous is the best new band in the whole world and they will rule the charts for 100 years. The Wallabies will beat New Zealand this season. You know what? I tell you who's a good bloke. O.J. Simpson. Now listen up, you blokes. I've seen the future. It's called MySpace. I'll say this once more. I've been saying it for years. The Wallabies are going to... I give up. They're not going to beat the All Blacks. They're terrible. I give up.
Brilliant.
Still employed.
You idiot.
Still employed somehow.
Incredible. This is the year, though, for those Wallabies.
The new Triple M.
This is the year. You know, this is the proper Easter this weekend. You know, there's Anzac Easter coming up in another week's time where the Anzac Day is on a Tuesday. Everyone knows that, don't they? So you can just take another 4 days that
weekend.
And
then May Day Easter.
But that's not an Easter. No, that's only a three-dayer. That's just a long weekend. God, there's some good times coming up. Listen, I just checked my sea breeze. There is no wind this weekend. It's all below 10 knots the whole weekend, which means if you own anything that floats and you don't get it out on the water, I don't know what you are. You're a wuss
Australian.
Or something.
You're a
wuss. What am I allowed to say anymore? Well, I can't say the G word.
What's a G?
No, okay, no, don't.
I can't
have
say
to
the P word.
No.
Can you say wuss anymore?
What's a P word?
You can say wuss. No, you can't say the P word.
No.
Don't. I just thought what the P word was.
All right. Just get out. I know this because I was riding in this morning and I saw two had kayaks on the roof and one was trailing a boat. Utes. Two had kayaks in them. They weren't going to mix concrete today. They were going straight on holiday. Do you reckon that people are taking, in the old days, construction industries used to finish today at lunchtime. Right, off you go. Because you had to get all your stuff together. They had to pack ready and then you had to get to your spot because there's huge traffic later in the afternoon today. Is enormous traffic. I've already told you about the busiest day at the airport of the year.
But also, I was talking to the Australian Traffic Network yesterday and they were saying that Friday
interesting
morning...
interesting conversation. What were you talking to them about?
Going up in their chopper.
Oh, wow.
Because that would be fun.
Yeah, it'd be great fun.
Yeah. So anyway, they were saying that tomorrow morning is actually the killer. Sunshine Coast. Goldie, not so much.
Tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning. Because people go,
Savo.
I won't go Thursday.
You're not falling
I'll pack.
For that.
I'll go Friday, there won't be anyone. Nah. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. And the other one I'm trying to work out, servos, are they open tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. You're after ice, aren't you?
I am. I'm hosting a barbecue. Yeah. And also...
Wait, the Lord's Day.
Yeah, well, I am putting prawns
on. Did the Lord die tomorrow?
Yes, he died.
He raises again on
Happy
Sunday.
Why
on Sunday.
Can't you eat meat? You're supposed to eat fish, and you're having a barbie.
It's about Lent and respect, I think, that you eat.
Hold on. Just quickly, more Easter tips. That's what I was supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, you were.
Some petrol is still $1.17, but you better hurry up because, of course, it all went up to $1.29 yesterday. If you see $1.17 petrol and you need to go anywhere, get it, India.
I should also add for you blokes, because you wouldn't know this, but Good Friday is also known as one of the biggest online shopping days.
Why? Oh, because you can't buy something. No, the shop's open. Bunnings aren't open.
No, we checked that too.
Here's the big one. This is the main reason I've done these Easter tips. bottle shops are closed. What's that?
It's your Easter tip music. Just jazzing it up a bit.
Ed, you know your radio. Is that Easter tip music?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, oh, it's from okay. the Easter tip orchestra. I've got a stack of things.
So no bottle shops are open. Get your grog. Don't be a fool to yourself. Go, oh, it's a day off. And you turn around and you've got no alcohol. Make sure you get yourself sorted.
It's a good tip.
Excellent work. What about what's open? Are we interested in finding out from folks what's open and what's closed
I
tomorrow?
Would love to know if anything is open.
Oh, I bet you the casino's open.
Oh.
What's open tomorrow? Would if you be? Work at it, if well, I'm sure the actually, if you know, is the casino going to be open tomorrow? The theme parks, what are they doing tomorrow?
I think tomorrow is the one day of the year that no one is allowed to be open.
Our video shops are still open?
Supermarkets.
Are there any video shops still left?
No, there's not. Restaurants?
Restaurants will be open. Can you get a drink at a restaurant on the Lord's Day?
These are great questions. 133353. We clearly do not know the answer to any of these.
Oh, I know the bottle shop one because I got caught one year and I'll never, ever get caught again.
Service. Ever.
Jess is from Redcliffe. Jess.
Hey, how are you?
You've got a tip. Marto keeps banging on about his bottle shops tomorrow. Can
I got
you help
caught
him?
One year, Jess, and I'll never get caught again.
We were almost caught last year, but you can get a drink at a restaurant if you order a main meal.
Is that the way around it?
Now, but what restaurants are open? That would be
there's
the
a lot of them.
Really?
So, quite a few restaurants will be open, but and cafes. But we were caught down at Sales Festival at Redcliffe last year, and looked over and thought, oh well, we'll go in there and get some fish and chips and a beer.
Do they the snatch it away it, from you after you finish your food? Give me that back now. Or are you allowed
well,
to lounge?
No, they were pretty good. They let us have another one. So.
All right.
So once you've started, there you go. Oh, good on you,
what
Jess.
A
thank
tip.
You.
Thank you, Steve of Kalanga. What can you tell us? What's open tomorrow? Oh, hey, Steve.
Sorry to bother you, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
How are you going? Yeah, the casino's definitely shut tomorrow. It's the one day of the year they shut.
What?
Yep. So they shut at midnight tonight and they open at midnight tomorrow night.
How do you know, Steve?
Because one of my wife's one of the chefs there. She's been there for about 7 years.
Ah, right. So there you go.
They're open Christmas Day, every other day, but it's the one day of the year they're shut.
Does anyone remember being young when you used to go to nightclubs at midnight on Good Friday?
And they'd shut, they'd kick you out?
No. I mean, yeah, they'll shut tonight at midnight, but they'll reopen tomorrow night at midnight and you'd be waiting there again to get back in.
Thanks, Steve.
That's only some people did that.
Yeah. That's okay. Peter, you got a tip for us? What's open tomorrow?
Servos will be open. You might find an odd one that'll be shut, but most of them will be open.
Oh, thank you. How do you know that, Peter?
I'm the boss of one of them.
Oh, excellent work.
Will you have ice?
Yeah, we'll have heaps of ice, guys.
Oh, good. That's actually where I'm going with this. Do you have to pay your staff like triple time for a Good Friday?
Double time.
Yeah, okay.
Do you reckon you can get beer at the Broncos?
Ooh.
Peter,
tomorrow night?
I would assume yes.
But what about if you're not eating food and you're just, if you're watching footy or eating food, you're allowed to drink beer,
those
are you?
The two exceptions we can find so far. Thanks, Peter. Hey, Russell from Ipswich, what's open tomorrow? Russ.
Morning, guys.
Hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
Well, first thing, welcome to the team, Robin.
Aww.
You make a beautiful addition.
Oh, yeah,
mate,
Russ.
It's 13th of April, Russ. Get off it. Come on, mate.
Put it this way. Subway IGA at Kangaroo Point on Main Road will be open tomorrow.
I know.
Main Street at Kangaroo Point.
You work there, do you?
No, I visit there enough.
Yeah, that'll be busy,
and
Russ.
And they've
that'll
got
be...
their signs up saying they'll be open.
Okay.
And there is a fish and chip shop at... I can't think of the name of the place on Creek Road. The Metropolitan Creek Road will also be open tomorrow.
Good on you, Russ. Okay. Also,
I reckon the smaller ones will be open. Smaller little shopping centres. Broncos open.
I'm looking. I'm on there. I'm looking for the. I'm on the website. I haven't quite got there.
Well, what happens if you can't buy beer at the Suncorp Stadium? Is it BYO? Remember the old days when you used to be able to have the cricket with your own esky?
BYO.
Oh my god!
Hey, I'm about to look.
Did you know that used to happen?
Yeah.
And then you'd
stand
on your esky, and if you had a foamy, you'd fall through it.
Apparently, the theme parks are open. I'm seeing here in the Gold Coast Bulletin saying Movie World, Wet n Wild, Dream World, Whitewater World. Are
cinemas?
All open. Cinemas
open?
Are open. Yeah, okay. Absolutely right. And here are the two that I'm interested in. There's a virtual reality Easter hunt outside Target at the Helensvale Shopping Centre.
What?
I don't know what a virtual reality Easter hunt is, but I'm fascinated to find out.
I think you shoot bilbies and rabbits. I think that's and then what that is. Bring your gun.
And then at the Surfers Paradise foreshore tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m, it's the Australian Street Entertainment Championships.
Is that busking? Is
oh,
that
I
what
reckon
that, means?
That would be busking.
Yep. It's the busking championships.
Oh, jugglers with bloody fire stick twirlers.
Mate,
with,
that's free entertainment. God. And we are into the second week of the school holidays and a lot of people are only getting paid on Saturday.
How many that's will right. they have? How many of those street entertainers will be there? That's fabulous entertainment.
There it is. You can go and see those.
Can you get a beer there?
I don't know, but I'd love to see the statue competition.
We have checked as well.
people.
We have checked as well. Booze will be served at the Broncos game. And for you, Cavalry, Love and Rockets, Honeybees are both open
That's for other people as open. Well. No, that's research. Not...
yeah, of course it is.
Mato
yeah.
and the Robin. Lord wouldn't have approved. Would the Lord have approved of rugby league and strip clubs Jeez. Being open on his day?
That's a whole different kettle of fish, you know.
What did he put in his will?
Oh, I didn't have one.
Great question.
Didn't know anything,
Did
mate.
All
didn't
come
known anything.
Surprise. Didn't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. We would have knocked up a few cupboards or something. Yeah. Like a couple of tables. Mato, Ed, and Robin.
Just what did he do with his sandals?
Triple
big queen. Such a big responsibility when you have visitors come to see you, which you do, and that's why I thought about it, Robin. You've got friends at your place at the moment.
I've got my sister and my nephews, and they're both from Sydney. And my nephews lived in London for most of their lives.
Got to show them around our beautiful city. We're all really proud of where we live. But when people come, you go, oh, you got to see Brisbane. And you'll take them over to South Bank. That's probably the centrepiece of Brisbane right now. I think we're all pretty well locked onto that. I reckon you need to go over across Moreton Bay, whether it's to Stratty or to Tangalooma, and show them over there. And everyone goes, wow.
Feed the dolphins just before you get the ferry back.
That is magnificent. Mm. Other than that, we used to always traditionally take them up to the top of Mount Cootha. You have a look and go, there's Brizzy, what an amazing place. Look, there's Moreton Island, there's Stratty. Yeah, you can see everything. There's not much else to do. Maybe Lone Pine.
Well, I took him down to Yatla Pies.
Yeah, well, that's getting desperate. Well, last night, and it's the second time I've seen a little sniff of this as being a possibility, there's a story that there's going to be a zip line, which is like the old...
Flying fox,
but it's a bit safer. You're actually strapped in. All the way down from the top of Mount Cootha down to the Botanical Gardens. Can you imagine this? Well, here's Graham Quick last night on the news.
We need something that's going to add a bit of invigoration into the lives of Brisbane people and travellers.
And travellers. Young people, all these backpackers, we're situated right on the northern end of the William Jolly Bridge. We see the backpackers, 2,000 of them, up on this little hill up there. They're all looking for some way to spend their dollars before they have a drink at night time.
We think it's a great idea, and Lord Mayor joins us on the line now. Good morning, Graham Quirk.
Yes, good morning to you, Ed. Good morning, Mato and Robin.
Hello,
morning,
Graham.
Is this going to happen, mate? And can people invest? This is a winner.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've gone out to the market just to test, if there were people that were interested in building it, and if so, in sort of
I'll have
form.
A go.
Now, yeah, well, we've got about seven entities that expressed their interest. So we're now out to formal tenders as of Wednesday next week.
Yep.
And they'll close in July. We'll have that announced in terms of the successful tender by very early next year. So it's all systems go. And we believe that it will add to that whole tourism focus. But it's only part of a broader agenda up at Mount Cootha. And it's the second biggest tourist attractor outside of South Bank. A lot of people go to the Botanic Gardens. But you've got the walking trails. You've got the planetarium, the Botanic Gardens, as I mentioned, where we're doing a new visitor information centre as well. So there's a whole lot of things that you can package up and do, and that's what we're intending to do with Mount Cootha.
Now, Graham, as a local who runs Mount Cootha a couple of times a week, I'm very interested to know where this flying fox would go from and to, because then I could run up
and go
and
down.
Then scoot down.
That's cheating, Robin. It's supposed to be running down too,
right? No, but it's better on your knees to zip line. Where does it launch from? Up near the Summit Restaurant?
Well, no, we're open in terms of the where. All we're saying is it obviously has to respect the environmental sensitivities of Mount Cootha. Yep. But we'll be taking on board the various tenders. They know the things that we're looking for out of it. We're hoping that it will be in the vicinity of around a 2,000-metre stretch, but that could be shorter or longer depending upon the proposals. So it's going to be a decent
That's
length.
Great. You know and, what, Lord Mayor, if you're thinking about getting the backpackers involved, why doesn't it start at the top of Mount Cootha and finish inside the Down Under Bar?
Oh, my God. Oh, my
far
goodness.
Far too pragmatic, Ed. Far too pragmatic.
One more before we... Oh, sorry, Robin, you go. Yes.
No, I was going to say, you could start it. Like, if you could go from one of the towers, the top of the towers of the Channel 9 or Channel 7, wonderful. You could get, like, Lord, a really good steep.
This is amazing.
You
this
could,
is,
you know, take off and really go
Carl
for it.
Carl Stefanovic, they're locking you in and everything. Yeah.
Bit of static on the 9 network. I think that's that one, but anyway. Yeah.
Hey, look, mate,
this is a fine idea. We congratulations. Yeah, but there's another event coming up in Brisbane I think Ed wanted to ask you about.
Hey, mate, congratulations, because we spoke to your cousin, Jeff Horn, the boxer. Remember you guys came into the studio to talk about the fight with Manny Pacquiao. It was on, it was off, but now it's officially back on, man. That's a great coup for Brisbane. We're really excited.
Yes, Ed, it is. It was a bit of a journey, but 24 hours, they say it's a long time in politics. It's even longer in boxing, let me tell you. look, it is great to have it on, and the fact that we're going to have so much great footage of Brisbane and Queensland, obviously, within that live coverage to more than 150 countries, is just going to be outstanding. Mm. That'll be an outstanding event in Brisbane, but also an outstanding long-term event for Brisbane tourism and the zip line.
Can Marto be a round girl? He wants to be round three.
No. I'm on the undercard against you, Quirky. I think you and I, we're about the same height and reach and everything. That's a fair bout. You and I just having a little bit of a tickle for a couple of rounds.
You've been out to get me for a while, Ed.
Oh, please say yes. That'd be awesome.
We'll leave that with our respective managers, that one, Quirky.
Yeah, you can do that. All right, Lord Mayor Graham Quirk. Thanks, mate. Good to speak to you.
Good on you.
Happy
Thank
Easter,
you,
mate.
I'm Robin.
Bye.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Okay, Robin, Ed, I consider, and we've spoken about this before, a buffet expert.
An aficionado.
Now, if it says, I feel it, my understanding of buffets is sizzler. All you can eat means?
It means all you can eat. But actually what I like to do is I like to flip that phrase. It's all you can eat, so you have to eat all you can.
Oh, you're like a spiritual master, the Buddha of Gorge. All right.
Thank you so much.
Well, there's one down the valley. I'm not going to use the name. Channel 9 did last night. They used the name of the restaurant. I don't want to punish this bloke at all. But they pointed out that it says on his sign, all you can eat for $20.
Mm. Whoa. At a Chinese restaurant.
It's not
that's
bad.
Pretty good.
Hey, I know. That goes forever. That's all you can eat.
Yes.
But he's got a problem. And he started, what's happened, he started penalising people. If you put food back, he starts to charge you extra. Well, have a listen to him.
Egg top, we have two pieces. They just eat one bite. They all everything and then put on the table even they don't eat it.
That was egg tart.
No, hang on. Very, very specific what to what he's talking about, and I couldn't agree with him more.
Oh, whoa.
No. He's talking about a phenomenon that I call hoarders, whereby, and it's often in groups,
this is interesting.
Specific here, but what happens is that people go up as a group, and they'll go, spring rolls, and they'll take six spring rolls off the little bain-marie, and they'll put them on their plate.
Delicious.
And they'll take, delicious, and then they'll take another thing of sweet and sour pork, blah, 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 and they'll pile it really, really high, guys, and they'll put it in the center of the table, and then people will sort of pick from that, and often it leads to like four spring rolls just being left, and they're like, oh, no, just chuck those out. I couldn't agree with him more.
Oh, well, this is what this guy's up
yes,
about.
Yes, he's up. I'm
What's
so
an
glad
egg tart?
Oh, they're like little. Well, they're exactly what they are. They're pastry on the bottom and then sort of an egg in the middle. They're hashtag delicious.
But if it's crap food, if people take a bite and putting it down, it may.
Oh, don't offend him.
No.
Not on a Thursday come Friday.
Egg tart.
Cool your jets. Which they're one? Delicious.
Are
and
they?
This gentleman is correct because there's nothing worse than when you're at a buffet and you're like, oh, where are those chicken strippy things? And then you look across and there's a table of people that have got like 10 of them stacked up on a plate that they're not going to eat.
Mm. Okay,
he's absolutely right.
So you're upset because it could impact the availability of said food for you.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay.
I've touched on some
really
egg tart jealousy here.
It's
like he's looked across at other people and admired their egg tarts.
No, and I only takes what I'm about to eat.
Yeah? Okay.
Got it.
All right. Well, therefore, Channel 9 probably got it wrong, and this guy got it right.
Yeah,
but can I just check
him.
This one? So he's also got, on his menu, he's got a kids menu. Okay, this bloke.
Oh, yes.
Kids menu. All right.
So remember, kids go $15 and adults go $20
Kids all they eat. This is his main worry, though. So it's been causing him some issues.
Oh, my kid's only 10 years old, but you're like this high, you know? I say, okay, just let them go.
Man children. He's got it written in the fine print. He's got man childs coming in there paying their like 15 or whatever it is and eating like a truck driver.
Two of my, when I was about 18 or 19, we tried that. We used to go through just two adults and a child, thanks. And the proprietor was like, I'm fairly sure that that's a 20-year-old man that you've put in a bassinet with a giant lollipop. I know he's wearing a nappy, but I don't think it's a kid.
Mano, Ed and Robin, it's the new Triple M.
Fair enough.
I am not a big fan of people who are deciding that they need the general public to fund whatever it is that they want with those GoFundMe pages, because I just don't understand why the general public has to contribute to other people's stuff.
Oh, but if someone's had a terrible tragedy in their life and they need crowdfunding because they've got no money.
Yeah, and there are those cases which absolutely, but it now seems to have blown out to the from the sublime to the ridiculous, and here's why. Okay, Subi Jeans founder, a bloke by the name of Dan Single. Now, tragically, he fell off a balcony in Paris a number of months ago and broke every bone from his hips down. And that is an awful story, right?
Yeah, it's
but awful. Let me just explain to you that he was staying in a resort that was $550 per night. He traveled first class to get there. And all his company at one point was worth about $40 million. Now, they were placed into receivership.
Yeah,
in
but Robin, it's a fashion label. Every fashion label goes into receivership. Mm. That's part of the fun of opening a fashion label.
Well, some of them trade their way out of it, like Sass & Bide and Bettina Liano. Okay, a lot don't, like Lisa Ho and Subi. But
I didn't realise when I got out of bed this morning that I'd be talking about Lisa Ho.
Well, just stay
with
me.
I'm aware that that's a brand.
Stay with me. So, okay, you say that it's okay for people to go GoFundMe pages if there's a tragedy.
Oh,
and
God,
certainly a guy who's fallen off a balcony and broken every bone from his hips down is a tragedy.
He's stuck in France. I would have said that's good. I didn't realise he was a rich bastard.
So this is my question. Do you think it's justified to then go and ask the general public to fund you if you were someone who was worth millions of dollars?
No. God, no.
Okay.
Yeah, how'd you go?
I'm just trying to establish the boundaries of GoFundMe pages.
James Packer going, I need a little bit of cash to get my new casino in Macau up and running. Can somebody give me a hand?
That's like Clive Palmer going on for GoFundMe to get a breast reduction.
Yeah.
Clive, pay for it yourself, mate.
At the 8th installment of Fast and the Furious in cinemas today, mate.
Yeah, man. The Fate of the Furious. It's in cinemas today, and our next guest could possibly have the coolest job in the world. There's cars everywhere in these films. We know that. I think it was like over a half a billion's worth that they've trashed so far in the series. And our next guest is the person who puts all those cars together. He is officially the motion picture car coordinator, worked on many films, including the Fast and the Furious franchise. His name is Dennis McCarthy. G'day, Dennis.
Good morning. How you doing today?
What do you actually do in terms of the cars? Do you have to source them and then fix them up and build them up to what they are?
Yeah, pretty much so. You know, it really starts with a script. We read the script and kind of figure out which cars belong with which characters. And then it's a matter of finding those cars and prepping those cars to do what they have to do. And frequently there's, you know, 5, 6, 7, sometimes up to 10 or 12 copies of one car just to, you know, get the movie done.
A Fast and Furious movie, what would be the budget? Would someone say, you've got $10 million, Dennis, to sort this out? Is that close to the mark?
Probably so. You know, it's pretty complex because there's so many different elements of the budget besides just the cars. It's the cars, the people, the manpower, the movement, the travel, the fuel, everything that's involved in getting these cars, you know, from purchase to on the screen and then you know, frequently restored at the very end.
So do you go to the manufacturer of the cars? Do you find them in people's garages? Do you then find a good one and replicate it? Like, how does that work?
Well, it varies, you know, depending on what the car is. So, for instance, obviously we have great support from Dodge. So that's a situation where they actually provide us with cars, but then we do have to do modifications for, you know, for stunts, you know, we eliminate things like ABS brakes, traction control, things that, that don't help us in a, you
all
know,
the, I mean, I guess all the safety,
all those
features.
Safety features.
Yes, that's
exactly.
Right.
Those have to go right away.
Talking to Dennis McCarthy, motion picture car coordinator, has worked on the Fast and Furious movies.
Is there a famous stunt scene from any of the Fast and Furious that's wiped out more cars than any other? Like, do you sometimes need 10 cars for all the shots?
Yeah, I mean, probably the biggest one was the vault heist in Fast Five. That one really destroyed. I mean, we were going through 40, 50 cars a day, weeks on end.
What?
I basically had, you know, car carriers on rotation nonstop 24 hours a day, you know, taking the crushed cars back to the scrapyard, picking up another batch of cars, bringing them out day after day after day. So that was probably the record destruction for any of these one films was that one scene.
Record destruction.
It's quite incredible.
Tell me about some of the other films you've worked on, because it's not just Fast and Furious.
Recently we did Batman vs. Superman, where we built the most recent Batmobile.
Hey, Dennis, so. question about that. How do you, when they're on set, you know that there's always reporters flying around and now there's drones that people fly over to try and get a shot, a picture of the new Batmobile so that they can leak it online. How do you protect the identity of the new car before the movie's released?
You know what? It's a tough job, and it's similar for all movies. Even Fast 8, we had a brand new car that was, you know, top secret. So all I can really do is transport it in closed carriers. As soon as we pull them out, there's a cover on top of the car. But where I lose control is where we're actually filming, you know, in public streets. I mean, once you get to that situation, it is almost impossible. So, you know, you can only do so much, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to get leaked out one way or another. So,
Dennis, what an incredible link to the car industry you got. What are you driving?
I have quite a variety of cars. Obviously, you can probably tell by the movies I've done, I love muscle cars. So I have, a 68 Chevelle. I have, a 68 Camaro, a 69 Camaro, a variety of things. My daily driver is much less exciting. It's a Suburban. I have four kids, so I'm only carting a bunch of people around. So,
Your wife picked the Suburban, didn't she? I'm just checking.
Yeah, I think she did, you know. taking eight kids to a soccer game, you know, like I said, it comes in handy. So.
All right, Dennis McCarthy, you probably got one of the coolest jobs in the world. Motion picture car coordinator from Batman to Fast and the Furious. He's done them all. Great to talk to you, mate. Thanks for your time.
Likewise. Thank you guys very much. Talk to you soon. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tell us. Everyone loves Tallis. Well, we want to check with Gordy Tallis to find, has rugby league lost its hard edge? Gordy, slapping. Good or bad?
Oh, well, do you know what? Sometimes it's the closest you can get. You know, the game's been sanitised. And you know what? Last week, Marto, was our highest rating ever on Fox that you work with. And it was all everything happening off the field actually drove people to the game. And it was our highest ratings. And Fox, let's not forget, it's soap opera. For sport is drama for men. So we need the drama. We need stuff to be sitting and talking about if we're having a beer. And if there's nothing happening and if it's all clean, well, we actually got nothing to talk about because you watch the games now, you see every replay, you see them 10 times. We know whether it's a try or not. We can't dispute it with our mates and say that wasn't a try because we can see it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we need, mate. We need all that stuff happening around. That's my opinion.
So you're saying it's okay for a bloke to slap while they're playing, but if then another player retaliates with a punch, shouldn't both of them get sent off?
Well, mate, they're getting fined. Yeah, well, look, they're getting fined now. The game's as clean as what it's ever been, Robin, but you know what? There wasn't that bad. Once they took the punching out, there was more malaise in our game than ever. There was more people running in, pushing and shoving and slapping and half punching. When there might have been six fights a year, but there was pushing and shoving five and six times a game. I think that's a worse look. UFC's the fastest growing sport in the world, Robin. Whether you like it or not, whether I go watch it or not, there is a market there where people like seeing a bit of brutality.
And ice hockey, Gordy, the ice hockey is so hugely popular and they're allowed to fight one-on-one, and as soon as one person hits the ground or his knees touch the ground, you've got to stop punching.
Yeah, but look at the padding. Ice hockey are covered
in
padding.
Have they?
Yeah.
Padding. If you've ever seen an ice hockey person, all of them have no teeth.
And their noses.
Look.
It's a bad look. I don't like seeing it happen every week, but on the odd occasion, if there is one, I'd rather it happen. If there is one and it's on and then they get heavy fines and they miss 2 or 3 weeks and they got to get suspended for it. That's the thing, Robin. Okay, so if they want to do it and if their temper's that bad, you got to be punished for it, just like in life. But don't just go out there and do it every week.
Gordy, before we let you go, one thing you're looking forward to?
I reckon Sharks Sharks versus Panthers. Obviously, there was those three guys they got dropped for missing curfew, and then the Sharks had a great win against Melbourne. So, mate, that's going to be a clash. And Para v Tigers. There's got to be a bit of... There's got to be something on that because, obviously, Moses is going to go there next year. And I think he might go after this game. He might go after Monday, 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock. He might be getting a release to go join Parramatta immediately. So,
Gordy,
there's a couple of games to watch.
While you're sitting at the coffee shop, do you ever read the Courier mail?
Yeah, sometimes.
Have you read
that? I'm not at a coffee shop this morning.
All right, well, but... But if you grab today's Courier,
yes.
Do you see who's coming last and second last in the tipping out of 16
Probably
people?
Myself and Darren Lockyer.
Yes.
Do you find that amazing that all these other
nufties
are
beating you?
Yeah,
mate,
there's
been that many upsets. Mate, there's that many upsets. You know, mate, it's like those people that pick the Melbourne Cup. You know what? And they don't go to the races every week and they come and they skite and they put their ticket and they have one bet and it's $3. They're the people leading the footy tipping at the moment.
I'm betting you, Gordy. Me.
Oh, no. Robin, please don't bring it up. Because last week, there is 8 games a week, and you said, I got 4 out of 4.
Yeah, well, okay, 4 out of 8. No, I'm trying.
Yeah, thank you.
Gordy, tell us. We'll hear you on the M's. We'll see you on Fox Sports. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Before we do jump out of here, there was on the Facebook page yesterday, Brendan, a discussion that started in here about Easter, and we know that the rugby league's going to be big over the Easter weekend.
Day of the Lord.
Definitely. That's the thing. Like, there is a lot of sport over the weekend, and you started musing, Marto. You started musing this.
What code would the Lord have played? Like, he was a...
Well, he's a man of the people, isn't he, Jesus? Christ, the Lord?
Probably means it.
What do you reckon?
Probably rugby league.
Rugby league, and he was a carpenter. Right, yeah. Was he a carpenter? Did we ever
He was a chippy. That went for several minutes. We did work
was
out
he
that he was a
new home builder, or did he do renos?
No, I think he did a commercial bit of renos and fix things up here
in Jerusalem.
Anyway, we did determine, you know, he played for the Broncos. If he did play for the Broncos, what position he play? We put it up on Facebook, triplem.com.au. Had a ton of votes. Overwhelmingly, 29% of people said that he would play fullback.
I said that because he said you.
Absolutely.
Jesus saves.
Oh, hold on. But he works so hard. You can't tell me he wouldn't have been a Gary Larson type second rower.
Second rower was the least favourite. 1% of people said he'd play second rower.
What
was interesting was 5% of people said he'd come off the bench.
What?
Yeah.
Why would you leave the... Why wouldn't you run on? Because you need the Lord there for the softening up period.
Well, in case people need saving, then you come off the bench.
No, the Lord has to start.
So there you go. There's one to take to your barbecues over the Easter long weekend. The Lord would have played fullback for the Broncos.
Broncos. That's just...
That's why he's on the bench. Was he during Lockie's era?
So well, this is the thing,
Would you have started Lockyer or would you have started the Lord?
Yeah, Brad Rouse on Facebook said the Lord already played for the Broncos. He was fullback and then 5/8.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, no, not
Are
like
they saying
no.
Darren?
Now,
instead of Jesus, wouldn't Darren, our Lord Darren, wouldn't that be a better name?
I think there's no way you could, if the next poll went up, who's more like Jesus, Alfie or Darren? I think Alfie would win that fairly easily.
Could you write a whole Bible around what Alfie's done?
The Book of Alfie.
On or off the field?
The Book of Alfie. Is there room? Is it too late?
So there you go. The big questions answered here with Marto and Robin.
Well, let's go and have some time off, eh?
Yeah, Easter long weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Have a lot of fun. We'll be back on Tuesday. It was a short week this week, so here are the plays from it. Catch you on Tuesday from 5:30. Enjoy your Easter long break.
Wake up with Marto, Ed and Robin.
On the new Triple M.
The Gold Coast threw up another classic.
Terry Peck, his name is, and he's an unemployed parolee. Here's what he had on his own, sitting on his own for lunch.
2 lobsters, a plate of baby octopus, 17 oyster shots and 6 Coronas. Police say he was still carrying 2 of the beer bottles when he got up from the table and ran away.
What were you up to?
My friend was over at the beach and she was having a baby.
On the beach?
Yeah.
They didn't say, he said they had 2 beers in his pockets. They didn't say how many newborns he had.
Sticking out of the top of the shorts.
T-Pack, is that a newborn?
Yep.
Accountancy firms are moving up in the world.
It's like tennis is a bigger waste of time than golf, Ed. Like, in terms of it's just used to sell corporate stuff. That's all tennis is for.
Well, I was watching some of the Masters and I can't believe how much... They're just billboards. The golfers. And it's like, who's your favourite sports person, Robin? Mine's Phil Mickelson, because I really identify with the guy with the KPMG cap on. It's just, that's just an accountancy firm I can believe in. Do you know what I mean? Some of the... I was on YouTube watching highlights of their forensic auditing. My man, it was just...
rich Uncle Mel was schmoozing in India.
It's a surprisingly clear line, isn't it? Because I'm coming to you from a call centre.
How was the welcome? We saw some of it on the TV. You looked a little bit uncomfortable.
It's nice to be treated with the respect I think a world leader is due, to be honoured with flowers laid at your feet rather than having a sausage roll launched at you from a ute in Maroubra. You're screaming, you're a tool, Turnbull.
Paleo Pete called in.
When will MKR finish?
Oh, God. I don't know. You get less for saying something bad about Kim Jong-un in North Korea. I'm a simple guy. I'm a simple guy. I just want to walk around shirtless in Bunnings, whiten my teeth, and ignore doctors who say that my advice is dangerous. Is that too much to ask?
And with Ed's wife, Tiff, expecting, there were a few handy tips.
You get covered in shit on the odd occasion.
Be prepared for the unexpected body fluids.
Okay, hang on. Should I just go around wearing like a smock? So I just have one of those onesies.
Like a painter's smock.
Like a painter's smock. Is that a good thing that we just wear around the house? Because it sounds as though a newborn is just nothing but getting covered in foreign feces and urine. If I wanted that, I'd play for the Cronulla Sharks.
Wake up with Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.